I have been doing a little research on the subject of Antichrist. I've been reading old literature. I've been reading every article I could find. Our church even has a show on the Antichrist on September the 25th. So I went up on the web to see if I could find it there, because they hadn't given it yet, but it is there. And I looked at it on my computer and watched it. I began to see how thoroughly Satan has deceived the world, even though I know he's deceived all the world, and how he will continue to deceive it in the future, before Christ returns. I also began to understand why they become so deceived and how we could even be deceived. I researched a lot of it. This is an article, I think it was written in 1963, by our church. Will you be deceived by the Antichrist? Now, I was researching the Antichrist, but I come up with the point, will we be deceived? And that's basically what I want to preach on today, even though we will cover some of the Antichrist. Can we be deceived? Turn to Matthew 24. Many of you are familiar with this, but I want you to read it again. Matthew 24 and verse 24. It says here, for there shall be false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, one of the things that Mr. Luker covered in that sermon that he wants you to listen to, the very first one, is when people come here and they're new, remember John 6:44. You can't come to Christ unless God draws you. So don't try and convert. And here, even though we are the elect, and I hope we all are the elect, I hope we're the ones that's the first fruits and called out and understand God's plan, being the elect doesn't make you better. One example, we're going to be under a greater judgment. And when Joel was talking about speaking, when I had my first sermonette, I read in the Bible, I always read it before, let not there be many masters, because you come under greater condemnation. For some reason or other, I read it in a translation, not a King James Version. Let not there be many teachers, because you become under a greater condemnation. Anybody up here speaking is under a greater condemnation. So we got to be closer. Doesn't mean we're going to get a bigger reward. We might get the same reward or less than you. You got to be under the fact that you're under a condemnation when you're up here teaching. Now, the title of this article, Will You Be Deceived by the Antichrist? And I want to try and bring out, what can you do to prevent it? There's two things. One is to understand prophecy. Now, you'll understand that as I get into this sermon, why you need to understand prophecy. I always was a prophecy nut. I was going to prove the church my prophecy. Then Dukach come along and said, well, we're too much prophecy, we're too much Old Testament, let's get off of the prophecy bit. Prophecy is the holy days. You know, you're going to be keeping trumpets and atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles on the last great day. That's prophecy. God has filled prophecy. The book is probably two-thirds prophecy. He wants us to understand it, and this will also help you not to fall away. And the second, I will run into as we go through these verses, you'll see what the second one is that helps you not to be deceived. Now, that one I just read, it says, false Christ. Does that mean that somebody's going to come along and say he's God? Are there really going to be people that say they're false Christ? And would you believe them if you heard it? False prophets, they shall show great signs and wonders, and maybe they can deceive the very elect. Does this say, or does this imply, that there will be a man actually saying he is Christ? And if so, will we believe it? And if it were possible, could he deceive the very elect? When Christ returns, the Bible says he will not only destroy the leader of this Antichrist system, but he will destroy the whole Antichrist system, not just the leader. Antichrist is not just a man. Antichrist means against Christ. They were Antichrist in the book of Jude. The church split then. If you want to see a split, it started in Jude. Also, 1st or 2nd Peter will tell you about the same thing. There was Antichrist from the very day. And, of course, we have these Kingdom of God seminars, which is basically what God, the gospel is. Preach the gospel of the Kingdom of God. Preach how to get in it, how not to fall away. There's so much to it. Now, there's one verse that I read all the time that helps me. It's Romans 12. If you want to know how to live, give this body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And how do you do it? By renewing the mind. So basically, we're being called to renew our mind, to get away from the old teachings that we have. I've got a young man that works for me, and I told him this week, we was talking, and I said, well, to answer your question, I'm going to answer it this way. The man in the Garden of Eden hadn't had a choice. The tree of life or the tree of good and evil. He took it of good and evil. That means we're already, without God involved, we're good and we're evil. The good part depends on the way we're raised. It depends on our culture. It depends on our family. All these things affect it. And he said one day, I've been accused of riding cars too close. And it's not only an accusation, it's a fact. And I'm trying to back off. One of my employees seen me going down the street past his house, and boy, was I riding that car. And this guy, young fellow, 22 years old, said, when they do that with me, I just slam on the brakes. And I said, well, what happened if there was a kid in back, his car in back, and they run into you, and you killed the kid? Would be my fault. No, no, it'd be your fault. You know, I mean, I said, slam on the brakes a little bit, hit the light, let them know to back off. And I'm trying to back off. My wife is on me all the time to do that. But my point was, you got good in you. And he is. He's a good employee. But you got a little evil in you, too. You would slam on the brakes and have me get killed. And he looks at me and just smiles. Not that I'm not supposed to be preaching at work, but I have a tendency to do that. And I wonder why. But you all know why. Okay, now in reading this article and even reading the book of Revelation, reading about the coming of Christ, I read that all man will be hiding. Turn to Revelation 6. And this is a poor time for me to be ad-libbing the first 10 minutes of my sermon. Revelation 6, 15 and 16. And the kings of the earth and the great man and the rich man and the chief captains and the mighty man and every bond man and every free man hid himself in the dens in the rocks of the mountains. And he said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of the Lord his wrath is come. Now, they're hiding from God as he returns. Why? Who are these people? I always thought they were the rulers and the kings, and when Christ came back, they didn't want to give up their rulership and let Christ rule. But when I read it this time, it says the bondman and the free man. Bondman meant slave. Why would a bondman and a free man be hiding from Jesus Christ when he returns? It appears that all people want to hide. Why? Shouldn't they be glad that Christ is returning and bringing the world to peace? That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's what you guys are going to talk about next Sabbath. It's what we're talking about this Sabbath and around the world. But everybody doesn't know that. They're going to be hiding. Doesn't a lot of the Protestants today know these scriptures? Yes, they do. Hopefully, we won't be deceived, and I'm going to show you how you will not, how you can prevent from being deceived. There is a way that we can be sure we will not be deceived. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. Chapter 1 is talking about the coming of Christ. But chapter 2 in 2 Thessalonians, it says, I beseech you, brethren. Now here he's talking to the brethren. He's talking to the people that's been called out of this world. He's talking to the first fruits. He isn't talking to strangers and people that don't know the truth. By the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by gathering together unto him. Now here we see there is some that's going to be gathering together to him. They're not going to be hiding. There's verses in there telling that when we see the day coming, we look up and we rejoice. Even though we're in the middle of tribulation and trial, we know the end. We know that Christ is bringing peace. We know that we are going to be, this vile body is going to be changed like to his glorious body. And we can rejoice as we see problems coming now. The Bible talks about water in some areas and famine in others. Is it the day, the end of the time? Could be. Have drought in Texas. In Pennsylvania, they had one thing I seen this morning. The walls were set up for a 20-foot overflow. 42 feet of water. So 20 feet of that water went over and wiped the city out. And there's 1,400, this is this morning news, 1,400 homes burned in Texas. You know, so we come along here, it's talking to the brethren, and they're gathered together unto him. It said, let that you be soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by the Spirit nor by the Word, as letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. So already he said, hey, don't be deceived. So here Paul thought you could be deceived in 2 Thessalonians. You and I can be deceived. We do not have it made. We have to do all the things Joel was talking about, plus more. Let no man deceive you by any means, in verse 3, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now there's been many falling aways, but this is the big one, that the man of sin will be revealed. In other words, before as this big falling away, the man of sin is going to be revealed, the son of perdition. What does this man do? He poses and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I guess they knew what they're talking about in Matthew 24. Some will come saying they're Christ. Here's a man that sits in the temple of God, and he says he is God. In verse 4. Now let's jump down to verse 8. The same man, and then that. And then shall the wicked be revealed. This wicked man will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Something to rejoice about. He's going to destroy this Antichrist. He's going to destroy this man that says he is God, and the world apparently believes he's God. We should be rejoicing. Then in verse 9, let's see what the problem is. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. You think Satan's real? Yeah. When you see the 10 nations go together and you see a religion drawing them together and you see that it's really real, it's going to be Satan behind him and he's going to have all power, signs, and lying wonders. He's only going to work miracles. Look in verse 10. And with all deceivableness, really going to be condemned even the elect and then that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. There is the way that you're going to be saved. And this is the way our program ended up in it. It says here, it's all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, but because they receive not the love of the truth. You got to believe this Bible is inspired. Angie's not here today. You know that I bring with me, and we went through this verse here, and she asked me one day, she said, do you believe the Bible is literal? I said, yes. She never found anybody that ever believed the Bible was literal. About 3 weeks later again, she said, do you believe the Bible is literal? I said, yes. And it's literal. Now, if you don't understand something, park it. Later on, you'll find it. She asked me lots and lots of questions, and this will be some that some of you would be surprised about. I've known her 3 years, and about a year and a half, six months ago, I gave her The Mystery of the Ages. I had a new book on that. I never gave it to anybody. I kept saying I was going to give it to somebody, but I decided to give it to her. She said, if I have any questions, I'll email you. And let me tell you, we had about 5 and 10 emails every day, every week, in the 2 years. She's a massage therapist, and she'd ask me questions on Thursday, and I'd answer them all during the week. I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And she told me one day, I said, you haven't asked me any questions. She said, when I have a question reading this book, I make it down, and 2 pages later, I get the answer. So she went through the book, so I gave her Human Potential. She hadn't asked me questions in that one either. Now, other things she reads, she has questions. But when she reads it, a page later or so, there's the answer. So And then also she'd been well grounded. She knows her Bible. And then, and I'll go get back to my sermon here. Since for this cause God shall set, in verse 10 it says, all deceivableness. In verse 11, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. If you don't believe this Bible is literal, if you don't believe this Bible is inspired, if you're not devoted and surrendering your life to it, God says he's going to send you a strong delusion in verse 11. And what will that do? And they should believe a lie. This man says he's God. And the world's going to think he's God. Even the bond man and the free man. And you might end up believing it so. It even says in Revelations he'll bring fire down out of heaven. It isn't miracles. But if you don't have what Joel just went through and what our church is teaching, in your mind in this book and renewing the mind doesn't mean reading all the literature Joel's telling you about. That's good. But you better be reading the book. You have to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Right here is the mind of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God and the Word was God. What's this? The Word. Here's Jesus Christ in print. And you better be surrendering to it. Now, it's not easy, and I'm telling you, I'm in business. And when Joe was talking one time, I received a $10,000 check that I knew I wasn't mine. It was a refund. It took me a month to give it back. I did a lot of research to find out if was I in error. I'd send a $10,000 check back. Gordon, are you an idiot? I'm a businessman. I couldn't find where they owed it, so I sent it back. And there's a lot of challenges as you're in business that people will have you do. What are the lies that this man will cause you to believe? Remember, he is inspired by Satan. God sent them a strong delusion. They will believe a lie. They will believe he is God. The whole world will think, no, my question is, then, so you're the people now that believe this man is God, then who will they think Jesus is when he returns and it says he's going to dethrone this man? Is by the brightness of his coming, he's going to destroy this man. Who will they think Jesus Christ is? This article brings out the Antichrist. And then you'll find out how I really learned a lot reading this article. There's a lot of prophecies that's been written in the past by religious men that think this man, that the Antichrist is Jesus Christ. Reading the same prophecies we do, we look at it and say, that's Christ. They look at it and say, it's the Antichrist. Now let's see why. Let's see how this person explains the prophecies about Christ's return. There was a book published in 1963 titled Prophecy for Today. And this isn't by ours, it's by other religions, Prophecies for Today. And here's a prophecy that was written in 1963 by a man by the name of Joachim. It says, he wrote, towards the end of the world, the Antichrist will overthrow this man of God that claims to be God, and he will take over the throne. Now, I am from Missouri. Not physically. I was born in Anderson, Indiana, and I lived in Indiana all my life, except for 2 years I was in Chicago going to school. But you always hear, you got to prove everything to me. And I've learned that in this. Mr. Armstrong said, prove all things. So I get on encyclopedia, and I look it up, and it says this man, this Joachim, he said he really believes the Antichrist will overthrow this man who claims to be God. So I look it up in encyclopedias and find out, is this really true? Because what I'm reading is an article written by Our Truth, our church in 1963, by David John Hill. And I think he left the church. I know he wasn't a part of the worldwide, but I don't know. I'm not doing any judging. He still might be a better Christian than I am. And then I got up and I did an article on this. This Joachim, he applied himself entirely to biblical study and with a special view to the interpretation of the hidden meaning of scriptures. So this guy's a highly educated man, and he devoted his whole life to interpreting difficult scripture. He forgot to get God to give him the Holy Spirit to help him to understand the Scripture. But he thinks this Antichrist is going to come and overtake the real Christ and rule the world. And this was written 1,100 years ago. This was written in 1,100 A.D. Now, because they will not admit to the truth, because they don't believe the Bible and they're listening to what people say, and again, Mr. Armstrong said, don't believe me. Believe the book. Some people think I worship Mr. Armstrong. Not any more than I do Peter, Paul, James, and John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If it's inspired from the Bible, he told me not to believe him. What I'm reading here is the book. Don't believe me. Read this. Is that what it says? If you have the Holy Spirit and God opens your eyes, you'll understand what it says. Because they will not admit the truth, these religious leaders believe the Antichrist be the one that's going to come and unseat the person who claims to be God. This has been taught since 1100 A.D. Now, I'm going to go back and show you some guy did it in 170 A.D. There's another quote by a woman in 1824. Emma Emmerich is her name. She predicted the Antichrist will fight a successful battle at Megiddo, which is Armageddon, after which he hereafter becomes the Lord of the world. This was written 187 years ago. The Antichrist is going to win at Armageddon. Do you know prophecy? Do I have to turn to Scripture? Who's going to win at Armageddon? Jesus Christ. They don't think it's Jesus Christ. 187 years ago. Then it goes on to say, the kings will send armies to the Holy Land, but the Antichrist will slay them all, and he will reign. That was written 346 years ago, 1665. I'm not going to turn there, but Revelation 19:19, you can write that down. The kings of the earth and their armies are gathered together and to war against and will war against the man that sat on the horse and against his throne, which we think is Christ. They think is Antichrist. And these are prophecies that's not new. You just haven't heard them. Revelation 16:4 says, the gathering of the kings of the earth to battle that great day of God Almighty, and verse 16 is Armageddon. So as we read that, Christ is going to come back at Armageddon and actually control the world and win. And we're going to have 1,000 years of peace, Feast of Tabernacles. But if you don't believe in the holy days, you don't believe in trumpets, you don't believe in atonement and Passover and so forth, you don't get it. Highly intelligent man, study this Bible. But if God doesn't draw you to him, to Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ has to die and shed his blood to reconcile you back to God the Father. And hey, that's brought out strongly in Mr. Luker's. The Antichrist and his army will cover and conquer and take over the throne. Now, here's an interesting saying. This Antichrist will appear. He will exalt himself above pagan deities. Remember, this is really Jesus Christ. He's going to exalt himself above pagan deities and the Trinity. This Jesus Christ that we know is going to be against pagan deities, Christmas and Easter, and the Trinity, which we don't believe in. But he said this Antichrist will come and exalt himself above pagan deities. Can you imagine that? And the Trinity. Coming to Jerusalem, he will succeed through false preaching and miracles, gifts, terror, aided throughout by the devil. Now this is stuff that's written that you can search and prove. An evil spirit, goes on, will come out of the air and blessed upon and descend upon the followers. He shall feign a resurrection from the dead. We look up the word feigned to give a mental existence to, as to do something not real, to represent by a false appearance. This man, there was a prophecy being told in 1660 years ago, by name of Richard Pohl of Ham Pohl. He's going to say that he's going to feign a resurrection from the dead. It really won't be true. When those people see a resurrection from the dead and you become a spirit being, don't believe it. It's not real. And because they know this, they won't believe it. And you know who they think you might be? Demons. When you're actually sons of God. Now, I never knew any of this, and then I've researched it to prove a lot of it. And it says the Jews will even welcome him. He's going to feign this resurrection. Now, there's another man by the name of Hippolytus, I think it is, or Hippolytus. He lived from 170 to 235 A.D. This man, who was one of the church fathers in 170 A.D., told a number of prophecies about the end of time. This was about 100 years after the true church of God had fled to Pella, left Jerusalem. So, here's what he said. Believe not the enemy who is to come and be seen. He is an adversary. Now, some of you, I hope scripture comes to your mind as I'm quoted out here. Don't believe this enemy who comes and he is to be seen. He is an adversary. He is a corrupter. He is the son of perdition. He deceives you. For this reason, he will kill you and smite you with the sword. Turn to Revelation 1:7. Behold, talking about Jesus Christ, he comes with the clouds. Every eye shall see him. This guy in 170 A.D. said, don't believe the enemy that you can see. Every eye shall see him, and they also which perished him, and all kindreds of the earth. So here he says, don't believe it. Now, I'm going to just quote you Revelation 19:15. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. He's going to smite the nations. He's going to rule them and tread them in the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Now, this person also said, for this reason he will kill you and smite you with the sword. So this guy that you can see, don't believe him. And God is going to smite some with the sword, but he's also doing it to teach us, and he wants to save everybody. God's plan is not just to save us. God's plan, he wants all to be saved. And that's what the holy days are about and how he's going to go about and do it. I don't think my dad is burning in hell. He's waiting on me, I hope. And if I don't make it, one of you go around and see to it that you teach my father, because I could still fall away. Any of us can. We better come closer to God. So this Hippolytus thinks that the person who does this is the enemy. He's a son of perdition. He is a deceiver. He's the Antichrist. Now, at the same time, this whole earth will be bewailed, the life of anguish, and the sea and the air in like manner will bewail it. The sun and the wild beast and with the fowls, mountains of hills and the trees will wail on account of the race of men. Now listen to this. This is the same guy. Because all have turned from the holy God and they obeyed the deceiver and they're going to receive the mark of the abominable one. I'm going to give you what the mark is. He's the enemy of God instead of the quickening of the cross of the Savior. 170 A.D. This guy says this Antichrist is going to come and he's going to give you the mark of the abominable one, Sabbath and the holy days, instead of the cross of the Savior. That's what they think the Christian mark is. This guy is 170 A.D. It says, this is God's clear revelation shows the time when the families of the earth are going to bewail for anguish in the time of Christ's return. Revelation 18. He also said, and in the presence of all, he exhibits himself as taken up into the heavens with trumpets and sounds and the mighty shouting of those who hail him. How many of you can quote 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17? When Christ returns, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those that are alive go to resurrect. And I always say, if you believe you go to heaven and you die, why are you resurrecting the dead first? They're supposed to be already there. You know? And they use this as a rapture. Here, at the time, they're going to hear trumpets, the sound of a trumpet. They're going to return. Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Then he talks about indescribable hymns. You can read Revelations 14, 3 and 4. The 144,000 are going to sing hymns. All of this is negative. We haven't heard it. But when this man of God is sitting in the temple of God and they've heard all these prophecies for a period of time and they really believe he is God, and they believe when these scriptures are starting to be read and they read it because they don't know their Bible, they're going to believe man instead of the book. He also sows the heir of darkness, which to me is Satan, himself shining like a light, which is Jesus Christ. And he says this is the Antichrist. He's going to soar to the heavens, and another he's going to descend to the earth. Back to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And again, he's going to charge the demons like, and again, charging the demons like angels to execute his commandments with much fear and trembling, for he will show forth his demons brilliant like angels. I can quote you scripture in Daniel 12:3. We're going to shine as the brightness of the stars. But he says that's going to be demons. Demons are not light. Demons are dark. Revelation 1:20 talks about the seven stars that are angels to the churches. Stars refers to angel if you let the Bible interpret the Bible. Don't worry, I'll be done by 12:30. You watching the clock? Now I'll get done. This will be preached with all deceivableness. That's what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:19. All deceivableness. So we have really got to come closer to God. We've got to be surrendering and living by God's word. You and I, when we enter God's kingdom at his return, are going to have to convince these people of the truth. All these people that's hiding in the caves from you, from Jesus Christ, and you're resurrected and you're with him, they're going to be hiding from you also. This won't be done overnight. We will need the full compassion and mercy that we are able to give as God's sons. Maybe this is one of the reasons that we're talking a little bit more about love. 1 Corinthians 13 was brought out with Mr. Luker. We have got to develop the love of God, and he says it's the love of God, the agape love. We've got to develop the mercy of God, because the people we are going to have to teach, you're going to have to show a lot of mercy, where we would like to spank a few butts. You can't do that. It's already been done. Then it says, then will he send cohorts of demons among the mountains and caves and dens in the earth to track out those who have been concealed from his eyes and to bring them forward to worship the Antichrist. We read Revelation 6, 15 and 16, so I just quoted again. But here this man says, in 170 A.D., that these will be demons will come among the mountains and caves and search you out. And it's Christ coming, and men are hiding in mountains and caves and wanting it to fall on them. He says that the demons are coming, and they won't want to come out. When you and I, as a spirit being, and they think we're a demon, we're going to have to teach these people that's really Jesus Christ. And you're going to have the love and the mercy and the kindness that we haven't developed yet. We, as sons of God, might be the ones of those who were sent to track down these frightened people, to counsel. And Joel talked about counseling. We'll learn to counsel because it's going to be you. One of the biggest mistakes I think we made, this is my opinion, in the Church of God, ask the minister. The minister doesn't know it all. You know, one minister I had, he told me that if he made a wrong decision, God would back it. I never followed any of his wrong decisions. You know, we got to the point we didn't. You're training to become teachers. You're not training just to take orders and ask the minister every time. A lot of times, people in the church, the minister will send into me. Their wife's not in the church, or their mate's not in the church. Who knows better than Gordon with 44 years how to do it? And you know what I told Angie, her husband? She thought, sure, he would understand because he's a very logical man. And she read this, and it's logical. And I said, that's right. He won't see it. If God doesn't open his eyes, he won't see it. Well, she didn't believe me, and I didn't either. I tried to convert my wife. just about caused a divorce before I finally woke up to it. So I give her the greatest advice. So any of you be running into somebody that has a mate not in the church, I told her, shut up. And you ask her sometimes what my advice is. Shut up. And Dara sent a fellow to me. He's a little short fellow. He's a wrestler. And he came, and his wife went in church. And he said, go ask Gordon. And he came up to me about 6 months ago, and he said, you remember what the first two words you said to me were? And I said, no. He said, you told me to shut up. He said, I went home and told my wife, and she said, that's the best advice that guy ever gave you. But I know, I drove my wife away. We was ready to get a divorce. If they don't see it. And now, Angie didn't believe me right away. She always tried a few things as her husband would see. They won't see it. You can't come to God unless he draws you. You didn't deserve it, nor did I. And if we look at ourselves, look at Paul. Did he deserve it? You know, we look for perfect. David's a man after God's own heart. What did he do? Yeah. What about Abraham? What about Moses? All of them did things wrong, but they repented. And we have to be sure we're doing that. But we're going to have to counsel and assure them that this really is the true God who's going to bring peace to this world and not the Antichrist. But when we find them, they'll think we're demons. And that's a very good possibility. For this is what this person who claims to be God will have told them that these prophecies meant. And they probably won't even read the Bible. Freeman is a woman that's in where he's at in the palace. We call it the palace. They call it the senior home. But it is a palace. This woman is she happened to be a Catholic, a good woman. I know who she is. My wife knows her. Very good neighbor. She was a neighbor of my mother-in-law. And so I respect her highly. The Bible lays right there. But she says she don't have to read it because her ministers went to school, went to college, and they know. And Freeman says, I think she's afraid to open it. Told me this on the way here. I said, she is, especially if you've been talking to her. Because what she's hearing isn't what she thinks this book says. When this happens, people will believe what they've been told because they don't know the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They don't think the Bible's literal. You know, I know all the ministers I argued with coming out of the church, coming out of the Protestant church, they will have believed him because why is it the fact that they won't believe you and they believe him? Because they don't believe the truth. They don't believe the Bible's inspired. And any time I found out something wasn't in the Bible that I didn't understand, I parked it over here. And then, where was it over here? Can't remember. Anyway, when I did understand something, I parked it on the other side. And then all of a sudden, 6 months later, I'd read something, and bing! There's what that meant. I'd go over here and take this and put it over here. And one of them was in Matthew 24, when it says, many will come in my name saying I'm Christ. Somebody's going to come saying they're Christ. That isn't what that verse says. That verse says, many will come in my name and they'll be saying, I'm Christ. They'll say, Jesus is the Christ. They're going to be preaching Christ and deceive many. When I could still remember where I was, when I just came home from somewhere and I sat down and started reading the plain truth and I read that and I said, bang. I didn't think that verse said that. So I moved it over. Now, unfortunately, some of you say you need to move a lot yet over, but I haven't proved it all yet. But when I do, I will. When these false prophecies are read from the pulpits to gullible people, and they begin to see God's intervention come to pass, they will believe the only meaning they have learned about these signs and wonders and be convinced that the glorious returning of Christ is the Antichrist. I'm going to go a little over. Here is another prophecy, and then we'll get to the end. And by this reason, this man says, there'll be a scarcity of food. All will go to him and worship him, and he will put his mark on them, on the right hand and on them, that no one may put the sign of the honorable cross upon his forehead. Now, and with his right hand. They will believe the cross is the mark of a Christian. We will have to teach them the truth of a Christian. We'll have to have Christ. What will Christ have to do when he returns to all these nations to get him to worship? Turn to Zechariah 14. Now just remember, this prophecy this guy just foretold was this man of Satan, this Antichrist, is going to cause scarcity of food. And this is going to force you to come and worship him. Turn to Zechariah 14. Look at verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations that came up against Jerusalem, and even up from the year to year to worship him, the King, the Lord of hosts, keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and it shall be that whoever will not come up of the family of all the earth of Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them will be no rain. How's God going to get certain people to come to him? No rain. And all of a sudden, Egypt will look and look at all those other prosperous people, and we're no rain. And all of a sudden, they say, well, it's every nation that keeps the Feast of Tabernacles. Maybe we ought to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, here's this guy, says a prophecy, the scarcity of food, and all will go to worship him because of the scarcity of food. That's right. Except it won't be the Antichrist, it'll be Jesus Christ. And we won't have the mark of the honorable cross. We'll have the sign of the Sabbath and the holy days. And do away with deity and so forth. So what will he have to do? He'll have to cause that so there'll be no rain. And then in Jeremiah 23:5-8, it says, he'll execute judgment and justice in the earth. Judah and Israel shall be saved. He'll lead the house of Israel out of the north country. Micah 4:3, he'll beat swords into plowshares, and they won't learn war anymore. So here is my conclusion. When we have been called to help God to bring his peace to this earth and to teach other people how to become God, and to be born into the kingdom of God, be born into the family of God, when this vile body will take on the body of Jesus Christ. 1 John 2, it says, when he comes, we know we will be like him. But we don't know what it's like, but we are going to be like him. You're going to have on his vile body, you'll be born into the family of God. How do we do this? By overcoming, by getting closer to God in prayer and Bible study, and letting God develop his holy, righteous, perfect character in you. And you can't read any article, if you go back and read old articles, that Mr. Armstrong didn't always end up holy, righteous, perfect character. And I did not know that until about 10 years ago when I started preaching it to you. I didn't understand that and see that. God is reproducing himself. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. This is what God looks like, not the face, but this isn't what God acts like. He's developing that holy, righteous character in me. So I will act like Jesus Christ, and I will live like Jesus Christ, and I'll teach you like Jesus Christ. God, you got to have prayer and Bible study and let him know. This is what I hope this sermon will do. It will cause you to get closer to God, cause you to believe the truth of this inspired word, and that's what the Bible says, that what happens to the world is because they don't believe the truth. You want to believe the truth. This word of God, not just man, and if you do that, you'll not be deceived. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things and hold fast that is truth. Act like you're from Missouri. Don't believe anything I say here unless you see it in your Bible. Prove it. This is real. The reward of righteousness is not eternal retirement in heaven and flying around all day. It's a 24-hour-a-day job. When we become a spirit being, we'll have one major job to teach these people the love of God and about the Antichrist. It'll be employment for eternal, joyful work.